You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 123. And Anne is my guest today with a dream that she had while she took a short afternoon nap. A lovely detailed dream, a very vivid dream, a very numinous dream, and of course a dream that Anne and I explore and come out of with a much, much deeper understanding of things that are happening for her in her life at the moment. And of course we also do some dream alchemy to help Anne. Well, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to help Anne with. You'll have to listen to find out. As always, it's a two-step process. First is interpreting the dream and understanding it. And secondly is applying the dream alchemy so that the person moves from an understanding, a deeper understanding of themselves from looking at their dream, to being able to actually create changes in the outer world to their benefit. As usual, and if you've listened to the Dream Show many times before, you'll know that I don't know the dream. I've heard nothing about the dream before we start recording. I make it a point that I prefer not to hear the dream because so many of you tell me that you enjoy that part of the process. You enjoy listening to the dream for the first time along with me. And of course, you also get a sense of what it might be like if you personally decided, well, either to come on the show or if you decided to do a dream therapy session with me, either by phone, by Skype or face-to-face in Brisbane. Of course, if you do dream therapy with me, we might go a little bit deeper and a little bit more personal because I haven't got to be aware that there are lots of people listening in as there are on a show. But it will give you that sense of this is what happens when you come to me and I hear your dream for the first time, and this is what can happen. Now, as you listen to Anne and you listen to her dream and you listen to the way that we interpret it and the questions that we ask and the way that we discuss it, you'll also get plenty of hints and tips for how to approach your dreams, or if you're a therapist or a therapist of any kind, you'll get some hints as to maybe how to help clients that come to you with dreams as well. And of course, you also, because it's the nature of the beast, by listening to someone else's dream, life filtered through their dream, you get little insights and ahas about your own life as well. This is a lovely episode to listen to. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. I have to give the websites first, not because this is a commercial show, because it's not, but because they're my websites, and I would really like you to go and visit them. So the websites are www.dream.net.au, and there's also my blog at www.janetheresa.com, that's Theresa without an H. The Dream Show website is called thedreamshow.tv, there are no W's in that. Just thedreamshow.tv. You can also find The Dream Show on iTunes. And what else? Oh, you can find us on Facebook as well, of course. And that's enough of that. We've already pre-recorded the session with Anne. And that's the other thing I just wanted to say. We only edit these dreams if we get something like a dropout on the phone line or a dropout on Skype or a too loud noise on the outside. So what you're listening to is exactly as it happens. We love the raw take. So here you go. Here's Anne. Welcome to the Dream Show, Anne.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We're always happy to have guests on the show with fantastic dreams, even though I have no idea what yours is about. How has your day been so far?
Well, it's been wild and crazy. I've had a good workout shoveling snow.
I love these variations in temperature around the globe. We're sitting here in 29 degrees C, but that's another story. I'm glad you've had a workout. Your brain's all fresh and oxygenated. You're ready to go.
That's right.
You're sitting comfortably. Would you like to tell me your dream now, Anne?
All right. This dream happened about 4 days ago, and it was an afternoon nap, a Sunday afternoon nap. And so I walked over to a friend's house, and the neighborhood was the neighborhood I grew up in, but I was as old as I am now. So the same people as now, but it was a different neighborhood. So I walked over to John's house, and he asked me, oh, and it was a gray kind of a day. And he asked me, so how do you know what to study for yoga? And I'm a yoga teacher in real life. So I said, well, it's whatever we're going to be working on in class that next time. And then we went to the back bedroom because that's where a notebook was, even though this was John's house, the notebook was in the back bedroom where I kept my notes for my yoga class. So we went to the back bedroom, and in the bedroom was a big window that you could see outside. And I'm looking outside, and there's things happening up in the sky. And I'm noticing shifting and changing. And I'm looking, and I'm going, that's a solar eclipse. And so I say out loud, I say, look, the moon is eclipsing the sun. But then when I said it, I realized that doesn't make any sense. It couldn't happen that way, but I said it anyway. And then we realized that it's not safe to watch a solar eclipse with just your naked eye, so we shared the notebook, and we kind of held it up so that we could peek out and watch the solar eclipse happen. So over the next few minutes, the sun came out bright, and the solar eclipse was finished, and it was really amazing. And I thought, I wish I would have been prepared to know that this was happening, but then I thought, wow, it was kind of miraculous. I was walking outside while the solar eclipse was happening. So we checked a book or a computer or something, and indeed, that was a solar eclipse that was happening that day. So then we go back to the front room, and I noticed for some reason we sat very far away from each other. The room was quite big. And he showed me a page in my notebook, and it had a abstract picture and some words and some symbols. And he said, this looks really personal. And I said, well, yeah, that's okay, but I'm the only one who knows what those things mean, so it's okay if you see it. Then he said, he started to tell me about an essay contest that he was in when he was younger. And he said, on the page, he wrote in big letters, I hate mathematics, and then in small letters, and for some reason I could visualize this essay as he was telling me about it, in small letters in the lower right-hand corner, he wrote, but I love English. Mm-hmm. And he said how he got a really good grade from this essay. And I said, I would not have given you a very good grade on that essay because there was no content to it. What a silly essay. And that's the end of the dream.
Wow, and fabulous. And great recall. And just incidentally, Anne, have you any idea how long you were asleep for, given that was an afternoon nap and you had a dream?
How long I was asleep? Hmm.
Yeah, I know it sounds like...
Was that the question?
Yeah.
Between a half hour and 45 minutes or so.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's just really interesting because the old scientific results, you know, decades ago said that we didn't dream until we hit the REM period, you know, the rapid eye movement period, which starts after a 90 minutes, an hour and a half sleep where you go through the four stages and then the fifth stage, which is the REM stage, you come up and have a dream. And science and people were so solid on this. You do not have a dream until you've been asleep for an hour and a half. And as we know, with situations like yours, we can all have a little afternoon nap and come, not even just with a snippet of dream or a fragment, but a proper, complete, detailed dream, you know, with a beginning, a middle, and an end, and all sorts of wonderful stuff in it, in a sleep which actually was only half an hour to 45 minutes for you. So it's really lovely every time we can sort of prove that that does happen. That and there is
true.
a lot more, yeah, and there's a lot more even in the science fields now, people looking, saying, well, while we do tend to have most of our dreams in the REM periods, we do also have them in the non-REM periods. And originally they were saying, oh, but they're not as vivid, they're not as surreal. And it's like, well, I'm sorry, but actually they are.
Oh, yes, I remembered this one so well. It was like I popped awake and it's like, what a fabulous dream. I just loved it.
It certainly is, and there's that benefit too to being able to sleep in the afternoon and have a dream, because you go to sleep because you really just need a bit of a sleep or a bit of a nap, and therefore you tend to wake up at the end of a dream, and that's the prime conditions for actually remembering the dream, which is good as well. And I can tell from your dream, yeah, it's not only you know, coming across as the narrative, there's the sheer kind of magic and marvel, or the deep emotional sense in your dream of, oh, that is amazing, which is so hard to put into words, but you actually had that really numinous kind of dream there, didn't you?
Yes, it was a fun dream.
I'm going to pop in at just a couple of quick things and then ask you some questions for the rest. So if I stand back a very long way from your dream, the very beginning of the dream was this question, well, not the very beginning, but shortly into the dream, and John said to you, well, what do you have to study for yoga? You know, and you're basically saying, well, it depends what I'm going to teach in the evening, and therefore, you know, I prepare ahead of time. I go and study what I need to know for the class. So I actually wrote down preparation, even though I don't think you used the word prepare there. And then towards the end, when you'd been outside and you'd watched the solar eclipse and you came back and you said, on one hand, you said, oh, I wish I'd been prepared for that. So there's that element of preparation coming up again. But then you corrected yourself and you said, but actually, it was marvelous. It was so great to be there while it was happening. So there's that sense of you were there in the moment. It was even better because you didn't know it was coming. And, you know, in a sense, when sometimes if you prepare for something or you know something's coming, maybe there's the excitement and the anticipation, but it coming totally out of the blue, it, you know, adds to that moment. So you've got there and in other spots in the dream, and the contrast between preparing for something in advance and the kind of like the opposite of that, being in the moment.
Okay, that's interesting. I know that I think I would have, as I recall the dream, I felt like I would have enjoyed it more had I known it was happening. Like when I was walking down to John's house, if I would have known I was walking in the middle of a solar eclipse, I would have stopped and felt the energy in the air and looked up and who knows. That's what I would have felt in the middle of the dream, like, wow, I could have made so much more of the moment if I'd have known it was going to happen.
Okay, now that's really interesting. And so you had the sense of, you would have preferred the sense of anticipation so that you could make more of the moment. And just off the top of your head, what other things do you think you might have done if you'd known walking down the path that it was going to happen? What other things would you have felt, or were there things that you would have wanted to have done?
Well, I probably would not have gone just willy-nilly visiting someone. I would have looked up and read about the solar eclipse. I would have prepared scientifically for it, or in my mind knowing what was going to happen. I would have been watching outside at the beginning of it and enjoyed it all the way through. I would have made it an event and not just looking out the window going, oh, it's over.
So in a sense, it was over too quickly.
Yes. Mm.
And there's a tie in there. I know we're at the end of the dream at the moment, but with John's essay, you know, which was only two lines. I hate mathematics, but I love English. All right, that was over very quickly too.
Yes, and no content. Nothing to it.
So if you take that no content comment that you made there, Anne, and you say in the dream you had that experience of being in the present moment, but for you felt that it would have been more wonderful if you had the build-up to it, and you described that as, I would actually, it wasn't just an emotional build-up or a sense of anticipation, as you described it beautifully, as you wanted to go and look up the scientific background of it and the details, and basically the content.
That's true.
Yeah, like the information content. So for you, there's that feeling of, for some people, although everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself, so to some extent there's a John aspect of you that's just, yep, no content, good grades, that's fantastic. I can do in the moment, I can do in the present moment, I can enjoy that. But the more conscious part of myself wants not only anticipation, but wants content, wants information, feel you can get more from it in that sense, in that way.
Yeah.
Go on.
And just to the just what you described is exactly the metaphors that I would describe for John. He's impulsive and at times lost in his impulsiveness.
Ah.
And so it's very much in the moment. He's very outgoing and friendly, and sometimes very scattered, and not a lot of forethought, and not a lot of planning, and not a lot of detail work for his action.
Yeah, that makes sense. So he doesn't know that anything's missing. He's in the moment, and he's enjoying himself, but it's difficult to... as an outsider, you're thinking, oh, there could be so much more content.
And he wouldn't be so lost if maybe there were a little bit more preparation to his forward movement.
Yeah, that makes sense. He wouldn't be so lost if there was more preparation to his forward movement. So we might come back to that with yours. So as a yoga teacher, as you've described there, you do actually plan ahead. You study... You choose
yes.
your class, and then you study it up and prepare in the afternoon?
Yes, or weeks ahead of time, months ahead of time.
Yeah, so you've got a kind of a schedule or a cycle that each week is different and they build on the previous weeks.
Yeah.
Mm. And are you ever in the situation in a yoga class where that your program for the evening is somewhat disrupted with maybe someone with an injury in the class or something happens? I don't know what kind of the situation could be, but have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've had to change or adapt the program for the evening?
Oh, absolutely. And so I just look at that as a fun adventure, and sometimes we just throw out the planning and go with what comes up in the middle of the class, and that's fine too. I enjoy that as well.
Ah, that's wonderful. So you have got that sense of being able to do that. But when you do that and you come to the end of a class such as that, do you still feel to some extent, oh, it would have been nice if we'd been able to do this, that, and the other? Or is there sometimes, do you feel that you can sometimes get more out of a class when that happens? Or do you end it thinking, well, that was really great, that was fun, it was adventure, but we kind of missed something?
Well, I can always go back and do what we did get done, so it's not like the chance is lost forever.
Yeah.
There's always another time.
Yeah.
So, no, I never feel like it's been a lost moment because there's always another class.
There's always another class. So you've got the ability to work both in the present moment and in the pre-planning, as it turns out.
Yeah.
But you notice that there's an aspect of yourself that kind of relates to John, because everyone in a dream is an aspect of yourself, that sometimes perhaps is... I might change it slightly. Was one of your parents or part of your early upbringing, did that involve someone who was very, very impulsive?
No. Neither of my parents are impulsive.
Were they the complete opposite?
Of each other?
Of impulsive?
Yeah. They were my mom particularly, planned months ahead of time for things and had all the details planned out, and things usually, and that usually made the events so relaxed and wonderful because she had taken care of all the details ahead of time. So when you were there, everything was thought of and all the details. And so, no, a big planner.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely wonderful. So when you went back to your childhood in the dream, do you know what kind of, is that a home that you were at for all of your childhood or just for a certain section of your childhood?
From about 12, and they still live there now. So 12 until I left home at 20-ish.
At 20-ish. So
teenage years.
Your teenage years, yeah. So there's a sense there. The reason I asked you the question about the impulsiveness is that sometimes if an issue comes up in a dream like this, you can sometimes go back to childhood and you'll find out that one or both of your parents either match that that extreme, you know, that John representing the extreme impulsiveness, they either match it or they're at the opposite extreme, and in fact both your parents were at the opposite extreme. And the reason you can often pick that, particularly if the dream gives a clue that it relates to childhood because you went back to your childhood home, because that can set up an issue, or not so much an issue as a programming, you know, a learned behaviour or a set of beliefs that you get from your parents at a very early stage. So in your particular case, Anne, listening to you talking, you picked that up as that, you know, ability of your mum in particular to be able to plan a long way ahead and therefore make it a very relaxed and wonderful event. That was something that you really admired in her and admired in your father. So you took it on, maybe not the full extremeness of it, but it was something that you took on board and it's become part of your approach to life and part of your nature. And a lot of people would respond to it in childhood, that same situation in the same way. And then there will be other children or perhaps even siblings of your own that just because of whatever situations or experiences actually bucked that and went the other way and went, no, like, I don't like that. I don't like, or, okay, it was, I'm making this up, but just as an example. Okay, so the event goes off beautifully and relaxed on the day, but the child says, in that 6 months of pre-planning, you know, I missed mum's affection, this, that, the other, whatever. And such a child might then take the opposite belief, I'm, you know, part of my structural approach to life is to be impulsive, to live in the moment, none of that planning stuff for me. And so this is how the particular behavioural patterns and beliefs that our parents live by can so heavily influence us as children, and then, you know, by either pushing us to one extreme or the other, whereas ideally in life, of course, we need to be somewhere in the middle, which it sounds very much like you are, you know, where you can value, well, you're perhaps slightly more towards the planning end, you can value the value of preparation and all of that, but you can also, particularly in your dream there, and in the way that you handle some of your yoga classes, you've got that sense of you can actually cope within the moment if it happens and get a lot of fun and enjoyment from that.
Yeah, I hope to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. So the thing is, you're sounding like somewhere near the middle, because in waking life, when something comes up in yoga, you're describing it as fun, adventure, and enjoyable. And all the time we're having fun, and that's good. All the time we're enjoying, that's good, particularly as the yoga teacher, because that energy is catching for your students as well. And it means you're in the right place, in the right zone. There's no conflict. If you're having fun and enjoying it, there's no conflict driving the situation to a large extent. And that sense of adventure you've got is always good for everybody. You know, if we're feeling a sense of adventure, it's probably because we're pushing a few boundaries within ourselves, moving out of comfort zone a bit, growing, extending ourselves, which is all wonderful stuff. And you've got that, and you can clearly do that in yoga. And the dream, you've got a sense of a bit more of that, even though you, in the dream, wished you'd been more prepared, because you can see the value that you would have got more out of it if you'd been more prepared. There's still that sense of you still got something really quite miraculous and marvelous from just the surprise element of being in the moment in the dream, didn't you?
That's true, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, you know, we have eclipses of the sun and we have eclipses of the moon. So it's significant that your dream wasn't about any old eclipse. It was actually an eclipse of the sun using the moon, which, as you said in the dream, didn't make sense. But, and I love that.
No, it can't happen.
Yeah. And even though, and even though you actually say in the dream that doesn't make sense, there's still that double meaning there of there's Anne, the scientist, there wanting to say, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense, and yet it's actually happening. And there are many wonderful things in life, particularly, you know, with those moments that you've probably had teaching yoga, and where you have that sense of, oh, this shouldn't be happening, it doesn't make sense, I don't have a rational explanation for this, but something wonderful is happening here.
That's true.
Mm. So you've got that sense in your dream, because of course in your dream it's your unconscious as well as your conscious minds that you're seeing, and there's that sense that your unconscious minds is having a bit of a conflict. Oh, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. Yeah, but it doesn't make sense. Yeah, but isn't this wonderful? So there's a part of yourself that does know that things don't always need to be to make sense or to be rational, or perhaps don't always
wonderful.
Yeah,
that they can still be wonderful even if you can't explain them.
That's right, exactly. And in the field of yoga, I mean, yoga's a beautiful discipline for kind of working with that, isn't it? Because so much of yoga is, as you say, pre-planned. There is a reason for doing this pose before that pose. There's, you know, 2,000 years down the track since yoga began, speaking as a non-expert here, there's been a lot of scientific research and validation done for, you know, a lot of the meditative benefits and health benefits. So it's kind of, yoga's got a lot of that background in it of, I guess, content and rationality, But when you're doing it, it's got so much more, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's the magic of the moment right there doing it. Yes.
That's right, because yoga is holding the poses and being in the moment, isn't it?
It very much so.
So it's quite an interesting situation being a teacher where you're essentially helping your class to be in the moment, and yet in order for you to be able to do that, you've got to come from two angles. You've got to come from one sense, from a sense of being prepared, and from understanding content. You know, this pose followed by this pose is going to be good for their adrenal glands or whatever it is. You're coming from it from a sense of preparedness, but you're also wanting to give them that experience of in the moment.
So that they can feel what's going on in their body, yeah. So
yeah.
There is a preparation to help them accomplish that, yeah.
So you do that preparation to help them accomplish it. What preparation do they do? Like, they come to the class in anticipation.
Yeah.
Is there another way they prepare?
No, actually, most of them, they say, we come to the class so that we just relax. Let you do all the work. And so they don't want to have to think too hard. They just want to breathe and have someone else tell them how to move and what to move. So they like to really relax into the moment. And they don't want to come prepared. They just want to be there and let the teacher guide them through the experience.
Which is absolutely fantastic, and you clearly do that really well. So for them, for many of them, whether they come from a rational background, whether they come from a kind of background where they have jobs or personal lives where they need to do a lot of planning or where they enjoy that, when it comes to yoga, they don't want any of that. They just want to turn up and be in the moment because they feel they have maximum to gain from that.
Right.
So in a sense, although you get so much from being the yoga teacher, in a sense, you don't get to experience that yourself unless you go to other people's classes.
That's true.
Yeah.
You have to be in your left brain. And I find that when I'm teaching and if I start to get too much in my right brain, I can't remember the words I want and can't talk. And so you have to stay connected into that left brain, which is not necessarily a good thing for the person enjoying it in the moment.
That's right, yeah. So I think, and I can completely understand that, and as, you know, many people listening to this show would have heard that, you know, the part of my brain that tries to add things up and take them away and do basic maths. I don't hate maths. Unlike John, I don't hate maths, but I don't love it either. But I am actually capable of doing it, except when I'm doing dream work. So it's a bit like you doing the yoga. It's like, oh, where did I put my left brain? Let me try and keep it with me here.
Yeah.
So I can relate to that. So there may be, you know, as dreams, there is a lot more to the dream, which we'll go into, Anne, but as dreams reflect the last 24 to 48 hours, one thing that may be coming from your dream there is a sense of, I've been in the teaching role, and much as I love this and do this, you know, and this is me, there may also be a part of yourself that would like to be in the class to have some of that magic of the moment, even though, as your dream shows, there's still the part of you that goes, yes, I love the magic of the moment, but I also like to prepare for it. You know, so there's that in there.
Well, in thinking about the processing, just a few hours before this dream, John, in real life, he kind of announced to some friends right before a church meeting that he was leaving to go to, two states away for another job, to this wild adventure. And so it was kind of a shock to all of us. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the reason he was in the dream was because I was maybe processing what he was going to be doing in the next 9 months of his life. So again, that pre-planning, and he didn't have time to give any of the details of what he was doing. It was just like, this is my last day, goodbye. And it was a very shocking announcement.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense that you were processing that. And of course, you're not only processing it because it's a friend or an acquaintance that is going, and all your feelings around that, but that person's ability to be able to do that, which is not something that you may be able to do it, but it's not something that you would want to do for yourself, then resonates into your deepest levels of your own structures and beliefs and and programming, and there's discord, which you're, as you say, you're then processing that in your dream. And how can people do that? How can this be? Yeah. How would I feel if this happened to me? And I guess to some extent, your dream went, well, if this did happen to you, although you'd feel that you missed out on preparation, although you'd feel that you might get more from it if you pre-prepared, there still is something wonderful in watching the solar eclipse. But that makes a lot of sense that you were processing that. So when he made that announcement, as you said, it was a kind of feeling of shock. What shocked you most, do you think, looking back?
Not knowing what is going to happen to their family. Mm-hmm. He's not divorcing his family. He's not leaving. But he is going to be like a once-a-month husband and father where they'll meet halfway. So just a little bit of fear of what is going to happen to their family when he's away working and they're still at home and being that separated family.
That makes sense. So if we take that thought and into your childhood, because your childhood was featured in your dream, the neighborhood that you were at from 12 to your 20s, was there ever a feeling there of that there about, and it's strangely reminiscent with the example I gave before, actually, of that feeling of, which I just made up on the spot, of the feeling of, oh, mum's doing all this planning, which is great, but to some extent I'm missing out. Was there a feeling back then that you can think of or remember of an occasion where either through planning or through someone being impulsive like John, there was a separation that wasn't a real separation, but that made you feel, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel a bit lost about this. Is anything like that coming up for you?
Well, just the only thing is graduation and moving away to college, where I'm the one who's, and it wasn't impulsive. I mean, graduation and moving on to college isn't impulsive, but it's a separation from your family and not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. So that sounds like it's possibly the connection there. That so when and other things may occur to you later, but that so when John made this shock announcement yesterday, it kind of threw you back to remember that occasion, which you say isn't really impulsive, but was a big change for you. And you have, see, impulsive is doing something without pre-thought, without pre-preparation, isn't it? And throughout a lot of the ways that you've described this to me, you've also linked in with impulsive this sense of, I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, you describe John can be a bit lost because he's only in the moment. And a couple of other things you said there, I forget which now, but basically that feeling of if you're in the moment, you don't know what's going to happen next. By definition, so there's that feeling of, oh, what's going to happen next? And that's what you've described for John. And for you, there was that feeling going to college. You knew you were graduating, and moving into state. And there's that feeling of, oh, what happens next? So it's shifting the thought from preparing for something before an event. It's even shifting the thought from being in the moment in the event, and we're kind of beginning to look at the next bit, the future, the feeling of not being at ease with what's coming next.
Yeah, because you don't know. So you don't know how to prepare.
That's right. So you don't know how to prepare. So you feel more comfortable when you can prepare not only for the present moment, but prepare for the future as well.
Yeah.
And when we take an impulsive action without preparation, we don't know how to prepare for the future. So there's a sense of, and yet you do it. You do it beautifully in yoga when something happens and you go, well, it's fun, it's adventure, I enjoyed it.
Except that as a yoga teacher, I have so much preparation from years and years and years of practice that it's really not anything totally new. It's just you reach back for a book or a experience that you've been prepared for.
Yes.
So it is a little bit different than going away to college where a person really doesn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Totally new.
Did it work out for you when you went to college?
Oh, yes. It was a very good experience.
So it can happen. And so, you know, building on what you said there, that makes a lot of sense. So it makes a lot of sense as to why your dream brought your yoga notebook into the dream. It's like, I have this notebook of all my past experiences and my plans for the future and everything, so I can draw on this. You know, you can actually draw on it from your head in the spontaneous moment, but your dream's also reminding you, yes, you've got the notebook in the back bedroom, on the back burner to some extent, you know, of your brain. It's there.
Oh, sure, yeah. The notebook is... It's in the back bedroom. It's in the back of my mind, always there, ready for me. That's true.
Yeah, it's true. And at the end of the dream, you moved it to the front room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're looking through it there, and you're saying it's okay. It's personal stuff, but it's okay because only I know about this.
Right.
So that's So it's your own personal stuff as well as your structures and notes, your personal experience that you can draw on and feel comfortable with that, which is good. There was something else I wanted to go to. Yeah, do you feel, when you look at your life now, do you feel that you're comfortable with most of your life as it is at the moment because you can prepare and because you can plan for the future? Or is there some aspect where you feel a little bit, either feel a little bit about that's one aspect that I can't plan for, Or do you think there might be some areas of your life where you may be sometimes over prepare because you really are so keen to make sure that you guide what's going to happen?
Kind of in the middle, where I've prepared the best I can, and yet I think there are things coming in my life, in our family life, in the next year or two or five where you prepare the best you can, but oh, it's just having never gone there, you don't know what to expect. So how can you prepare? How can you prepare? You know, like a death in the family. You cannot prepare for a death in the family. It's a big surprise when it happens.
Yes.
As to how you would really deal with it in the moment.
Yes. Yes, and you know, no matter how many books you might read or people you might talk to or scenarios that you might run through as to how it might happen, you always know it's going to be none of these.
Yes, or like a birth. When you're ready to have your first baby, you prepare as much as you can, but the actual birth process, you can't prepare for that. It's either better than you expected or worse than you expected. And so you go through it the best you can, and then you say, I was not ready for that.
And then tell me, because I've been there too, what happens when you have your second baby? How much do you prepare for that?
Yeah, maybe you prepare a little bit differently.
Yes.
And then every birth is different, and so you can't prepare for the second one either.
Exactly. So there's some of those... there's some of those, and I'm sure all mothers listening and will be smiling from ear to ear at that. It's so true. So it's kind of like the natural events, you know, and maybe a solar eclipse, of course, is a natural event, and it's a once, twice, you know, it's a rare event, as is death and as is birth for us all. It's a rare event in our lives compared with all the other events. And these natural events are, to some extent, the ones that we sometimes think we can prepare for. But we can't always prepare for. We can prepare for knowing that there will be deaths, that there will be births, that there will be solar eclipses. But, you know, in our conversation about your dream and the way the dream is going, it's not about preparing for the in-the-moment event. We're all actually very good at in-the-moment because our bodies are built to cope within the moment. It's what happens next.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And as you've described there beautifully there, that 2, 3, 5 years time that you don't know, you know, that's near time. And, you know, if you're looking at, oh, what's going to happen in the next 2, 3, 5 years, that is close enough for you to be, you know, looking and thinking and feeling about what you're doing in your life today and really getting that sense of wanting to enjoy every moment and to reap the most out of the present moment that you can. Because at the end of the day, whether we know that we're looking at 2, 3, 5 years or 50 years, that, you know, the fact that things may change in the future that we may not be looking forward to, you know, the bottom line or the advantage of that is often to throw us back into the moment and get us to really enjoy and get as much out of the now that we can. Wouldn't you agree?
You sound just like a yoga teacher, Jane Teresa.
This is your yoga session, Anne.
Oh, totally. Yes.
So as a working yoga teacher, you're teaching the stuff and you're demonstrating the stuff and you're walking the stuff and you know the stuff and you apply a lot of this stuff in your life, and it would be nice also for you to be able to be on the receiving end of more of this to keep you in that mindset when you need to be there.
Yeah.
I love the feeling in your dream that it was the moon that eclipsed the sun. So what have we got here? We've got the sun is bright. You can see everything by the sun. So often the sun can be your consciousness, what you can really see. And the moon comes out and shines at night, which can be maybe our dreams, maybe our intuition. You know, you can't say that a symbol means the same to everyone, but I'm working with this here. The moon from a yoga teacher would definitely perhaps be, you know, the inner world. The inner world. There you go. Beautiful.
Yeah.
So in a sense, you've got that feeling in your dream that the inner world, the moon, moves over and eclipses the outer world, the sun. And it's a beautiful and wonderful and rare moment. You would have wished to be more prepared for this, but it was a fantastic moment where you basically just went within to the inner world. And it's in the inner world, I guess, to a large extent, where we can do that present moment stuff. And a kind of reality kind of got it, logic kind of broke through to your dream and said, oh, it's not safe to watch the sun. But, you know, but the fact that it occurred also in your dream was there's a bit of symbolism in there too. And there's that feeling of, oh, I'd really quite like this moment to last for a while, of enjoying the moon, enjoying looking at the moon rather than the, you know, the painful elements of the sun. So there's a sense of what you may be anticipating in waking life or in your outer world is beautiful and wonderful, but there are elements of not wanting to look at the sun too hard, elements of pain or elements of not wanting to project too far ahead into the future, whereas there is a sense of awe and wonder about being with the moon side of yourself, you know, being with your inner world.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Protecting, not wanting to look at the real world with too much vigor. Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Although in the dream you argued with yourself afterwards and said, I really wish I'd been more prepared for that. So, you know, perhaps there's a sense of maybe you can be more prepared for that, those odd bits of time in your life when you do get time to go within or to be in your inner world. Maybe you want to be more prepared to get even more out of that.
Good point, yes.
Because in as you know from your work, the more that you spend, I mean, we've got to spend, you know, 12 hours in the moon and 12 hours in the sun, literally and metaphorically. But while you're in your inner world, that is where, of course, you are at your most powerful, because you are centered, you're within yourself, you have access to the deeper stuff going on within you. And strangely enough, in that space, you also have access to the deeper stuff going beyond the everyday world. You know, you are at your most connected there. And so really, that's where you can be at your most powerful to set the scene or get stuff right within you, so that when you do face the sun, and including facing some of the things you're not so comfortable about the future, you've got yourself in a centered kind of way, in the best way that you could possibly be for that.
And to do it safely.
Yeah, to do it safely. So, you know, I think that's you know, one of the beautiful things in your dream there to really, that you're already doing, but to maximize and to bring that in. And John is a wonderful symbol. In a sense, we don't know much about John. We don't know what goes on in his inner world or how often he steps into his inner world. But from the outside and your perception of him, which is important for your dream, is that he doesn't do that. He just leaps to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So your sense is more, yeah, look, sometimes there's conflict in my life because I look at people who are in the present moment or are impulsive like John, and I don't see how that kind of model would work for me because it wouldn't help me to deal. I like to be prepared for the future. It doesn't give me structures and ways, even for things that I can't plan, like births of babies or deaths. I still like to have, you know, to think that I'm prepared in the best way that I can possibly be, maybe not in a scientific or rational way, but that I'm prepared to go with the flow, for example, or whatever it is. And you can't see that in John, so it feeds back into your dream. But your dream says, yes, but I, Anne, have different ways to cope with that. So maybe to some extent, although you don't want to take impulsive action in your life, and you know, in fact, that you can, when you're teaching a yoga class, for example, you can go with that and enjoy it, you also know that there are ways that you can add some sense of preparation to the time that you spend within that will, to some extent, allow you to flow all in, even though future circumstances may be unexpected and you can't prepare for them in the kind of way that your mum did. You know, there will be this number of plates on the table, the party will start at this time, the cake will come out the oven. You can't do that, but you can be prepared in a different kind of way, prepared to go with the flow or whatever it is. So there's a sense of preparedness, even though you wouldn't be able to write on paper, this is the plan, folks, this is what we're going to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and as you described that, my mother's preparation was very much in the outer world. Now, she probably did a lot of inner preparation to get there, but so the preparation that I do, there's a lot of inner work, a lot of pondering, just inner work, inner thoughts, inner feelings, how things are put together, so that when the moment is there, it just all comes out easily.
Yes. And isn't it wonderful that you have experienced that many times, and you know that with your teaching of yoga, that you can deal with those classes that just turn out to be completely differently. And so if you've got the ability to do that through the kind of inner work that you do, that you've just described so beautifully there, it's now a matter of extending that to be able to, okay, so, you know, a birth could be fun, adventurous and enjoyable, a death would not be that, but that you would be prepared in a different way to be able to, that you would know that you would be able to go through it in the best of all possible ways.
Right.
And so unlike your mum, who you beautifully described there as focused on outer world, she's focused on the sun, there is so much more power in focusing on the inner stuff. In order for the outer stuff to happen, I mean, there might be some people listening to this thinking, oh, no, yeah, you focus on the inner stuff and you get into this little world that's all about yourself and it never comes to have any flow-on effect in the outer world. And, yeah, that's definitely what we don't want. We don't want to become so introspective, and you're not there. We don't want to become so introspective that nothing actually happens. But there are so many people over-focused on the outer world that they just don't realise that if they just step back inside and then come out again, it's so much clearer and easier.
Easier.
So I think we've kind of worked out most of your dream there, and I love the way that it took you back to those teenage years in childhood, to some of that, you know, witnessing the way that your mum worked and then your feelings when you went to college and everything. And I love the way that your description of John is, he's impulsive, but to some extent he's lost in his impulsiveness because he's scattered, he can't plan for the future. So it really gave us that clue and gave you the clue in the dream right there straight away. We're talking about the future here. And I love the way that you had the, in your notebook, Anne, at the end of the dream, the kind of personal and abstract pictures. To me, that's like our inner world is often inexplicable to another person. You know, we can't describe it to another person. It's abstract. We can't always put words on the deep and wonderful and mystical and fantastic stuff that goes on within. It's kind of abstract. It doesn't make sense to other people, but it makes an awful lot of sense to us. So it's a good place for us to go to make sense of ourselves. And one of the things that came out, that, you know, we always have to look at the bottom line of your dream. The bottom of your line was where you wouldn't have given good grades for that essay because it had no content. And I guess, I don't know, what's jumping to my mind as at this point is thinking, maybe it's a bit reflective of what I just suggested there, that some people that live too much in the outer world and never take the time to reflect within, maybe there's no content. That's a bit harsh, but, you know, there's less content because they're sometimes maybe firefighting. Oh, this is happening. I've got it. Oh, no, I've got it. Oh, no, look, this. Oh, I've got to do. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got reacting to what's happening in the outer world rather than going within, building content. Oh, this is me. Here I am. What have we got here? This is content. What do I want my content to be? What do I want it not? Now I go out and changing the wording slightly, I can respond to the world contextually with different content, whatever. What do you think?
Yeah, changing your inner world and really making it what you want, then the outer world changes on its own.
Yes, that's right. I wonder,
with little effort.
With little effort, and that's the beautiful part, isn't it? I wonder what dream alchemy we can put through this, because as you know, dream alchemy is often, and I'm just explaining for anyone that's listening to the show for the first time at the moment, there's a two-part process to dream therapy, which is what we're kind of demonstrating here. You bring the dream that I haven't heard before and I hadn't heard Anne's dream. We work together to get an understanding, an interpretation of the dream. And then we look and say, well, is there something that you want to check? Now you understand what the dream was saying about yourself. Is there something in your outer world that you would like to change? Because if there is something you would like to change in your outer world, it comes from making a change within, which is exactly what we were talking about here.
Yeah.
And the process we use for that is dream alchemy, which can be a visualization, which can be art. Work can be dialogue, it can be any number of things, but dream alchemy is essentially an exercise that works with the symbols of your dream to change anything that needs to be changed in your inner world to have a better result in the outer world. And sometimes if you look at your dream and you say, yeah, look, it's great, that's where I'm going, I'm really, really happy about that, we can still use dream alchemy to amplify that, to really say, yes, okay, bring it on. So either way, we kind of move to that next stage. And I said, thinking about it at the moment, Anne, from what you've got from this dream, what would you like to either change or shift slightly in your outer world, or what would you like to amplify in your outer world?
Well, I'm wondering if, because I said there was no content, if I have a judgment against people who seem to have no preparation.
Mm.
When maybe there's plenty of preparation in their internal world that's symbolic that I'm not seeing, just like the moon eclipsing the sun, you can't, that I'm not seeing that in the outer world, and so I'm judgmental of what appears to me to be impulsive, but maybe it's not.
Yeah.
And that maybe I judge that harshly.
Yes.
And don't appreciate it or don't recognize it even in myself.
Yes, that's right. That makes a lot of sense. That's lovely. What's coming to mind for me there, depending on how you feel about this, is to, and the symbol I'm looking at here is your notebook in your dream, is to think of getting a notebook and spending some time either on the internet or with magazines or whatever, just even use Wiki on the internet and Wiki a few people that you think of as impulsive, but that have actually achieved wonderful things in the world. Or even drawing little pictures of people that you know, like John, or maybe not John, maybe other people that you regard as impulsive. And again, these drawings can be abstract ones that are meaningful to you. No one else has to look at them. But basically, right. To build up a notebook of exceptions that to the rule, you know, so that, oh, hang on a minute, here's someone that is impulsive, but actually they've had great outcomes. Maybe after all, there was a sense of, you know, planning within in preparation for that. And to just basically build up, say, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 examples, profiles of people, just pictures of them in your notebook, of people that when you look at them, you think, wow, yeah, those are the kind of people that I used to be a bit judgmental about, but I can see that, you know, they have had good outcomes. They must have been prepared in different ways than I had really appreciated before. So what we will be doing is taking the notebook element symbol out of your dream, in a sense, and feeding those people into it. And then right at the end, whether you choose 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people, to put John in as the last one.
Ah.
Yeah. So
okay.
So regardless, so even if it's like, I know that these other 10 people that I've chosen have got proven outcomes, and I'm still don't know what's going to happen to John, you're putting him on the end of that going, okay, it's essentially, I'm not judging him, I'm assuming that in some way that he is prepared for this. And maybe on the front of the notebook to have, because it wasn't in your dream, but it came up in our discussion, so it's pertinent to the dream, to have some kind of symbol of childbirth on the front of your notebook, which reminds you of going with the flow. yeah. How does that sound?
Well, I have so many notebooks that are half full, and so I'll have to... get a new notebook and do that. And I do like that, and I like about putting John last, because in real life I want his actions, even though they appear to be impulsive, I want this action that he's taking to be wildly successful. Mm-hmm. And so I guess if there's any judgment that I'm holding about it, I know that that's not good, because that's, you know, there's that energetic connection.
Yeah.
And so I really, really want this action of his to be successful in every way.
That's fantastic. I love that you're motivating yourself to do this for another person's outcome, for John's outcome, and that doing that will also do it for yourself as well.
I hope so, yeah.
You're the perfect yoga teacher.
You're kind, thank you.
And thank you so much for sharing an absolutely beautiful dream with a lot of deep thought and insight for our listeners to extract and get plenty for, to apply in their own lives as well. So thank you so much for that. And I'd love further down the track for you to either just let me know personally, or to email me and say, look, or call me and say, you know, if you want to share this with future listeners, this is how it turned out. But even just to me, so that I know, and of course that's what it's all about. So thank you so much for sharing such a beautiful dream.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's been a pleasure. I should say that if you'd like to be a guest on the show, if you're quite happy to go slightly more public than having a private, confidential dream therapy session with me, just email me. And yeah, it's usually pretty easy to organise. There's not a long waiting list. Sometimes there's no waiting list at all. And sometimes we have a barrage of people, but I can always find a place for you. So if you'd like to be a guest on the show, just send me an email, and it's so easy. You're either on Skype or on a phone, your end, and we simply line up a time that works. And yes, all time zones across the world ultimately work for us. And we just call you and have a little chat, just to make sure that you feel comfortable before we start recording. Then we press the button and record. It's as simple as that. And when the recording's over, if the guest has time, as Anne did, for example, we just have a little chat afterwards, once we've stopped recording, so that we can cover any more confidential details, or basically just have a little chat. And one thing that Anne did mention that we thought you might like to know was that after her dream, she did go to the internet and find out when the next solar eclipse was coming, because she really, 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 really wants to be prepared for this one. And she said, from memory, it's May, and she thinks it's May the 20th or the 21st. So I haven't gone to check up, because we're just wrapping the show while I'm still sitting in front of the microphone, but I'm sure you can go and do that. May the 20th, 21st, depending, I don't know whether you can see it in the particular country where you live, but that's the next solar eclipse. So next time the solar eclipse comes up, and if it's May and you look up in the sky or on your television or on your computer screen, you go, oh, yes, wonder how Anne's going. You'll have a nice connection there. So that's a wrap for this show. Remember, go and have a look at my websites. Find out more, www.dream.net.au or www.janetheresa.com. Go to iTunes if you want to hear more of The Dream Show, or, of course, subscribe to iTunes. It's free, of course, so you automatically get your podcast, which we put out every 4 weeks, delivered direct to your device of your choice. Or go to thedreamshow.tv, where you will find all our episodes, all 123 of them and growing. Have a wonderful month. I hope that you get so much out of this to enrich your life and help you to understand your dreams and dream alchemy more and more. I'll speak to you next month. In fact, our next episode, episode 124, will come out on Easter Friday. So have a wonderful month, and I'll speak to you then. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Theresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.